so glad that you are here and that you were able to come out. It's kind of nice outside. Like, I walked into church this morning, I was like, this is like an 80 degree difference from last week, and it's not above 40. I'm glad you're here. If this is your first time visiting with us this morning, I would love to be able to connect with you right after the service. I will be right outside the theater at our connection area, and I would love to be able to give you a gift and answer any questions that you might have. But also, if you've come a few times and haven't done that yet, I just want to encourage you to do that. Along with that, another way we want to connect with one another is through our connection folder, which is on the end of the aisles. And if you could take that connection folder, open it up, fill it out, let us know that you were here, and then put prayer requests down that we want to be. I'm talking about prayer tonight, so I'm all jazzed up on prayer. Not tonight, this morning. And so I'm all about prayer right now, which is a good thing. And so I want to encourage you to fill that out and put a specific prayer request on there so that we can be praying for you specifically. We believe that God moves. We believe that God works through prayer. And so we want to pray for what God is doing in you. So write that down, pass it along, put that down. And then that's a great way for us to be able to connect with you. And then along with that, if you are running, you know, you're here and you're like, you know, I want to take the next step. What is, you know, how can I get to know a little bit more about this church? We do our connection class once every month. You can go online and see those. The next one, I think, is coming up in 2 weeks. But it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to get to know you, tell you a little bit about who we are as a church, and then answer any questions you might have. And so it's at our house right after service. It's my wife and I, and it'll be somebody, some other families from our leadership team, so you can get to know them a little bit. But if that's you, I just want to encourage you to go online and sign up. And then along with that, this week our life groups are kicking off. I would cheer, but then I'd start coughing into the mic. But this is a great, this is one of my favorite parts of the church, where we get to come around one another and do life together. So we have two launching. Where the Madsons are leading one out of our house, and the Joneses and Saunders are leading one out of the Saunders house. Did you make those cards, Lance? Oh, Lance. Lance is going to make up some nice pretty cards, but I guess we'll have to wait. But if you're interested and you want to know, hey, how can I get plugged into one of those, just come talk to me after the service and we can get you connected to one of those groups and we can let you know where those are. But that's just an opportunity for us to continue to grow in community and get to know one another. Now, along with that, Steve's going to take the offering. And Steve's got Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we preach out of the Bible every Sunday morning. And so if you're here and you're like, you know what, I need a Bible, raise your hand afterwards. And Steve will get you a Bible. But you already started, Steve. You got ahead of me. Let me pray real quick, and we'll keep going. You're fine. God, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for the family that you've put us a part of. And God, we thank you that we can minister together with one another. And God, we thank you for all the people who are serving and giving of their time and setting up and tearing down. God, doing this for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you would bless that. And God, as we come together and worship this morning, God, I pray that you would get all the glory. And as we open up your word, Lord, let it not be a man speaking, but God, speak through me, and let it be the authority of your scripture, not us, God. And we pray that we would be changed by that work. And God, as we take our tithes and offerings, Lord, use that for your glory. God, use that for your mission. And God, let us steward the things that you have given us well. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Steve. All right, so we are jumping back into our Vertical Essentials series. With a five-week series. We did 3 of them already. We had Pastor John Dirks last week from Harvest Rockford here. So he kind of did his own thing, but now we're jumping back in. And this is a series of that's kind of telling people who we are as a church. And so if this is your first week or second week and you're wanting to know kind of a little bit more, go back and listen to the last couple sermons. I believe we started it the first week in January, and it'll just kind of give you a taste of who we are. But, you know, the Christian life is so different from the rest of the world. And, you know, when we look around at what God has called us to, when you open up scripture and you start to kind of study more and more and more and read and read and read, you start to understand what the Christian life really looks like. And then you take your head out of scripture and you look up and see what's going on around us. It's vastly different. It doesn't even come close to merging together. A lot of times we like to try to do that. We like to try to have one foot in a biblical, godly world and another foot in a worldly sense, like this is where our friends are, this is where we get our understanding. We try to balance this, but that doesn't work. Anytime that we try to do that, when we try to live in the Christian world, in the regular world, it doesn't work. And our life comes to ruin when we try to do that. And we start to slip more and more and more down this path to this point where all of a sudden we have no idea what's going on. And that's why we do a series like this, a Vertical Essentials, because we understand that we need to live a life that's drastically different than the world around us. And we aren't looking to our culture to tell us who we are. We are looking to God. As a church, we are a vertical church that is about looking to God's word to figure out who we are in what we do. And so that's why we do this. That's why we talked about, and we have a vertical mission. We glorify God through the fulfillment of the Great Commission. We make disciples. That's what we do. We believe in unapologetic preaching. Okay, that means that we believe in the authority of God's word in our life without apology. And we believe in unashamed adoration. Our goal in worship is not to just sing fun kumbaya songs, but get to the place where we are singing to God about God every Sunday morning. And this morning we're talking about prayer, unceasing prayer. And prayer is one of those things that really does separate us from the rest of the world. When we have a healthy prayer life and really understand prayer rightly, it really sets us up. But, you know, when you look around, something happens, you know, something in the news, you know, a plane crashes or school shooting or something, you know, really bad happens, and you go on the news or you go on Twitter or you go on Facebook or you go, and you have all these people, our thoughts and prayers are with you. And I understand what they're trying to do. They're wanting to send comfort. They're wanting to send, you know, hey, we're thinking about you. But this idea and this word prayer is just thrown around and nobody really understands what they're saying. Our thoughts and our prayers are with you. Well, thanks. I appreciate that. But when we don't understand who we're praying to, when we don't understand where the power of prayer comes from, when we fail to realize that prayer is meant to change us as much as it's meant to change the world around us, if we don't understand that prayer is about connecting us to the living God, then prayer really means nothing. But as a vertical church, if we have a healthy prayer life, an unceasing prayer, we need to have an active prayer life. We need to understand why prayer is important and what prayer does. And we need to be fighting for seasons of prayer because we need an active prayer life. We need an active prayer life. You guys are opening up to Ephesians 6. And we're actually going to start in Ephesians 6, verse 10. And in the past, I've actually just taught on Ephesians. When I've taught this, I've done Ephesians 6, you know, like 18 through 20 or something like that, or 16. But as I was reading this passage a little bit more, I was like, this all goes together. And I can't separate this because this really helps set up prayer for us. And so, you know, this is Paul finishing up his letter to the Ephesians. That's why in verse 10 right away he says, finally. Okay, he's bringing it to a wrap up, and he is, you know, kind of putting an exclamation on all that he has said so far in the book of Ephesians, and he wraps it up in this. And the first thing that he shows us in Ephesians 6 is that our life needs to be about staying in the Lord. Our life needs to be about staying in the Lord. Look what he says, starting in verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So Paul's wrapping up Ephesians with this passage. And now he says then, he says, finally, bringing this all together, be strong in the Lord. You know, a lot of times you and I, we live this life and we think we have it until we don't. We think we can put all of this back together and we start to do our life and we, you know, think we have this figured out and we might lose our job or lose a loved one or something happens and all of a sudden our life starts, you know, maybe health problems start to happen, our life starts to crumble a little more. It's like, well, yeah, this is getting hard, but I'm going to pick myself up by my bootstraps. And we start to, and all of a sudden your bootstraps snap. Oops, that was my stand. You see, a lot of times we think we have it. We think we can do it. We think we have all of this that we can take care of. But Paul here is reminding the Ephesians that no, you can't. No, you can't. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. He is trying to set this up, to help us understand where we get our strength from. We get our strength from being in the presence of God. I can't pick myself up. I need the power of God. It has to be his might. Why? Because we are fighting against not flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We are fighting a fight that we don't even completely understand. You see, Satan and his beings, they are doing everything they possibly can to get us from the presence of God. They understand that if they take us from God and put us on our own, they've won. And a lot of times we don't see that. We don't see the battle that we're fighting. And we think, you know, a lot of times we see the people standing right in front of us. You know, sometimes we see the culture coming to attack us, and so we start to worry about that. But we miss the spiritual battle that's going on. And Paul's saying, listen up, this is happening. And this is far greater than any flesh and blood battle we will ever fight. There are spiritual forces that are trying to move you from the presence of God. You need to stand firm. You need to stand fast. But that only happens by the strength and power of God. Well, how do we do that? Well, then he jumps into the armor of God. And again, this is something that we need. This is the armor of God. Well, yeah, Jesse, I know that. But this is the armor of God. Not the armor of Jesse. Not the armor of Elian. Not the armor of whatever. This is the armor of God. We are called not to put on our own and figure out our own things, but put on God's armor to be able to fight against these spiritual authorities and these cosmic powers. And now, you know, at this time, Paul is kind of like, he's probably under guard right now. He's in prison. And so he's writing this letter to the Ephesians. He probably looks up and he sees a Roman guard. And he can kind of just, hey, this works. It's a good analogy. Looks at the Roman guard and sees all of the different things that the Roman guard is wearing. And the first thing he says, listen, you need to put on the belt of truth. Okay, the belt of truth. The truth is the belt is the thing that held up the tunic and girded everything together. And what it did is it gave you freedom to move. And so it would tie everything to the first thing you would put on. And, you know, freedom or truth really gives us, when we understand God's truth, it gives us freedom to be able to do what God has called us to do. And it gives us freedom from sin. And Paul is saying, listen, put that belt of truth on and get everything together. This is what holds everything. And he goes on and talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, this is not our own righteousness. This is not our good deeds. This is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay, this is the thing that protects us. It is not what we do, but the very thing that Jesus himself gives us. We are no longer living under our own work, but the work of Jesus. But now this is also our standard. This is also our standard. We're putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And then he goes He goes from the blessed to righteousness. He talks about the boots of the gospel of peace. Okay, these are things that let us march forward. We can keep moving because we know the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to be able not to stand our ground, but push forward as we tell people about the gospel of Jesus. And you know, Paul is looking at all these different things. He's still going. And he goes, the shield of faith. Okay, we are going to be getting attacked by Satan. He says, listen, it's the shield of faith, your belief in Jesus, that's going to be able to extinguish the arrows of fire being sent out by Satan. You need to worry, you know, you need to brush up on your faith. Do you really believe what you say you believe? You need to put on the shield of faith. This is the helmet of salvation. I thought about trying to get an armor and kind of put it on as I was preaching, but then decided that's a bad idea. But then the helmet of salvation, this is the thing, you know, the salvation that protects us till the end. It keeps us safe. It protects one of the most vital organs of our body. It's the thing that protects us from the outward influence. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Holy Spirit has given us his word to be able to go after the enemy. It's his word. The Spirit of truth has given us God's word to be able to go confront the enemy. You see, this is a great picture. I love when how Paul writes this, and he's comparing us to soldiers in an army and kind of giving us an understanding. But you know what we do a lot of times? A lot of times we take these things. And we take the things that God has given us. God really has given us an armor. He's given us something to protect us, to help us stand fast. And then we put it all on and we get in our place and then we think, all right, I got this armor. I'm going to go do what I want. I got the things that God has given us, the gifts that the Lord has given us. God has given us his word. I'm going to use it how I want to use it. I have the truth. I'm going to use it not to bring God glory, but to make myself look better. I'm going to take this armor. I'm going to go wreak havoc for my own glory. And see, so often we take the very things of God and use them for ourselves, but that just leads to destruction. You see, God gave us these things so that we can stand firm, but it always has to be connected to God. That's why he says in the very beginning, listen up, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of not Jesse, but of God. Put on the whole armor of God so that we can fight against Satan and his minions. You see, if we're going to win, if we're going to be able to stay steadfast, our life needs to be about staying in the Lord. Anytime that we step out of God's presence and into whatever we want to do, that brings destruction, and that's a win for Satan. And prayer gets set up by this. We need to understand that desire in your heart for whatever you think it is really a desire for God, a desire to find fulfillment in a relationship or in a job. Or when you are longing for something and you go to something else other than God himself. You see, we set these patterns that we'll turn on Netflix and binge watch Netflix. Or we'll go and, you know, I mean, for me, let's be honest, I go get a bowl of ice cream. You serious? Yeah, like, Lord, it's been a long day. I need something to satisfy my soul. Where is that ice cream? Well, it's been a really hard day. Here's the 3 scoops, 4 scoops, 5, you know. And it sounds dumb, but when you look at your life, we do that all the time. And in so many different ways. And you see, when we start to create these patterns in our life where we are not in the Lord, not finding our strength in the Lord, not finding it in his might, but finding it in the dumb little things of this life, it wreaks havoc on our prayer life. Because the very moment when we're supposed to be going to God in prayer, we're going down these other paths. And so it starts with understanding that our life needs to be about staying in the Lord. Even when he gives us his armor. It's still his armor. It's like, you know, this week is really cold, and I was making a lot of fires in my house. My kids had 3 days off of school days, or this week is awesome. But, you know, so we had a lot of fires to keep our house nice and warm. You know, if you build a fire, and you get it nice and hot, and you get one log really hot, and then you take that log away from the fire, what happens? It dies. It goes out. It loses its heat. It can be flaming hot with flames billowing up for 1 second, and then the moment you grab that and take it away from its source, you know, its heat source, its fire, you take it away from the other wood, it dies. It goes out. And that's what happens when we step outside of the presence of God. When we step outside of God's strength, and we take God's armor outside of what he's called us to do with it, we go out. And so we need to start by understanding that we need to be in, or staying in the Lord. Pressing in, you want a healthy prayer life? This is where it starts. I need to go to the Lord. I need to go to the Lord. I need to be running into the presence of God to find my strength. When I'm attacked, I'm putting on God's armor. I'm not pulling myself up by my bootstraps. I'm putting on the thing that God's called me to. And God is going to be the one protecting me, not me, because I don't have it. So it means we start to believe in the truth. Lord, let me understand your truth. We put on, Lord, it is your righteousness that saves me, not my own works. He keeps going on, Lord, it is the gospel that moves. I'm not going to make any difference. It is only the good news of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I need to believe that you are coming back and that you will give me everything that has sustained me. Lord, this is only of you. And Lord, none of this can be taken from me. You have given me the helmet of your salvation, God. And God, you have given me the only thing that I have that I can go out with is your word, Lord. And running into the presence of God. So that's the first thing. Our life needs to be about staying in the Lord. The second thing then is that prayer is the posture that allows us to stay in the Lord. Prayer is the posture that allows us to stay in the Lord. Now, you know, body position or posture really is everything. Okay, so we were outside sledding on Monday. And I'm starting to teach my kids how to snowboard a little bit. You know, I'm getting them kind of ready. And we built a little hill in our backyard. And so I'm teaching them. And, you know, every time I tell them, all right, good stance. Get in a good stance. Get your knees bent. Get your arms out so you can kind of stay steady. And every time, even before they would start, I could see, actually, Ellie is sitting here. Every time he'd go, Dad, is this the right stance? Dad, is this a good stance? I'd be all on the other side of the yard. Dad, is this a good stance? But it is. It's important. Body position is really important. You can see what's going to happen. You know, when you go home and watch that Super Bowl today, and you can, just even by, you know, the quarterback's getting hit and falling back, that's not going to be a good pass. Or, you know, that offensive lineman, he didn't get low and down. And, you know, body position means something. And prayer is attached to a posture. It shows something. It shows something. Look at the first part of verse 18. It says, praying at all times. Praying at all times. You know, we get this armor of God and we forget that it's God's armor. We think, like I said, that it belongs to us, but it doesn't work that way. We have to stay connected to God to see this work. And how do we do that? Prayer. That's why he jumps in. When you look at in your Bible, there's not even an end of a sentence there. That is so intertwined with putting on the armor of God that it's in the very same sentence. Praying at all times. And, you know, Paul isn't just talking about like, well, pray before this or pray before. No, he's prayed all times. And what he's doing is he's giving us a picture where as I'm putting on this armor, I'm in prayer. I'm praying about what's going on, praying about the reasons why I need to put it on. He's every piece that's being put on is being put on through prayer. You know, none of this works without prayer. You know, prayer is us expressing that we don't have it all together, that we desperately need God. This is why prayer is one of the things that separates us from the rest of the culture. Because our rest of the world says, you know what, well, just go figure it out. You know, you can do this. You're strong enough. No, you can't. I am not strong enough. I can't get through this life on my own. I desperately need God. And prayer is this posture where we are on our face or on our knees before the Lord saying, Lord, I don't have this. I need you. I need that armor you're talking about. I need your ability to be able to worship the way that you've called me to. God, I can't figure out my marriage. I can't figure out my school. I can't figure out my job. Lord, I need you. So we're praying at all times. We're putting on the armor of God. You know, so often when we do get gifts from God, if we're not covering them in prayer, and if those things aren't leading us to pray and ask, you know, even earthly blessings like a home or a car or a job or spiritual blessings that we see in Scripture, if we're not covering those things in prayer, they get used for selfish, unholy reasons. So Paul's saying, let's not pray at all times. At all times. We cannot be successful on our own. Now, are you allowing yourself to be put before the throne of God? God doesn't want us going out on our own. He knows that it leads to destruction. We need to move from the I have what it takes, I'm just going to try harder, to the I am lost without you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. It's a position or a posture of prayer before the Lord. And if you want to see your life grow in being in the presence of God and staying put where God has called you to be, grow your prayer life. Grow your prayer life. And not just a 5-minute, oh Lord, I didn't study for this test, help me do good. No. But every time you put on that armor of God, you're praying it on. You're praying it on as you're about to go share the gospel with people. You know, you're putting on those boots of God, you're praying those on. Or Satan's coming after you and you know, Lord, I know I'm going to be tempted. I need your righteousness. You're praying that on. We're praying it on. You know, when you really think about prayer and the posture of prayer, it's low. It's low. It's on our knees. It's on our face before the Lord. It's not a fighter stance. It's not a fighting stance. Or at least what the world would consider a fighting stance. But when we get low before the Lord, and we get to a place on our knees before God, it allows God then to fight on our behalf. And you want to talk about seeing somebody fight for you. That's when he says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We get on our knees before God. God fights for us. And so, prayer is the posture that allows us to stay in the Lord. But then lastly, we need to fight for a supernatural prayer life. We need to fight for a supernatural prayer life. Again, Paul is using this analogy of a soldier, and he keeps on kind of using it throughout this passage. And I think it's really true because we really do have to fight for this. Prayer doesn't come easily. You know, when we look around our world today, we like to look at things that produce. Okay, you know, your jobs, most of you have goals and stats, and you got to reach this goal, you have to have this budget and this many sales, and you know, you have to get this in, and we can figure out how you're growing by this. What's this key, what's the word? Key indicator? KPIs, thank you. Yeah, we have all these KPIs. You know, if you do this, this will grow. And if you do all these measurables, and we want to see growth and feel good about ourselves. And then there's prayer. where prayer, like, you don't feel good about yourself. It's really hard to see it measured. And we don't always understand how God is working for us. And so it's so hard to have a healthy prayer life because we have all these other things that we try to do, all these KPIs that allow us to, you know, track all of these things and make us feel, when prayer is like, Lord, I don't got this. So Paul said, listen, you got to fight. You got to fight for this. Prayer does not come naturally. We need to understand the goal and what we need to do to get there. And again, Paul's been using a military terms in this passage, and he keeps on doing it. He says, you know, pray at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And it's kind of like a two-tone here. And the first thing is in the power of the Spirit, okay? You and I, we can't always pray on our own. That's why, you know, you look over in Romans 8 and he says the Spirit is praying for us because we don't know, ought to know how to pray. And, you know, we need to be praying in the power of the Spirit. A lot of times we don't even completely understand the things we need to pray for. But when we get on our knees, the Holy Spirit's going to give us the power to pray for. But the other kind of aspect of praying in the Spirit is also the altitude of the Spirit. It's also the altitude of the Spirit. You see, we are to be getting into the throne room of God and going before the Lord, going before the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. And a lot of times our prayers are weak and pathetic. Lord, can you really help me get here safely? Thank you. Lord, I'm not doing well today. Can you help my day go better? Like, how often do we pray prayers like that? And we need to. We want to have a rhythm of prayer. And it's okay to be, you know, just throwing out prayers here and there. But if there aren't moments where you are getting into the throne room of God, into the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, where it's that prayer where you're like, listen, I am on the ground before the throne, where the Holy Spirit is the only one that's gotten me to this place, you got to grow your prayer life. And we are fighting a battle against the cosmic powers that we can't even see. For the eternity of people's souls, our prayer life needs to grow. Our atmosphere needs to get to the place of the Holy Spirit. We are going before God in prayer. When was the last time your prayers were like that? And to be honest, I look at my life, it's like, man, not often. I need to get to that altitude, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the altitude of the Holy Spirit. We need to be pushing ourselves, praying for our children, praying for our neighbors, praying for our coworkers, praying for opportunities to make disciples. Lord, we want to see this church grow, then man, we better start praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. With all prayers and supplications. God is saying, listen, you need to be praying about everything. God has given us everything in this life to glorify Him. God has given us everything in this life to find fulfillment in Him. And so often we try to do so much of this life on our own because we think we have it. But we need to be praying in all prayers. You pray with all, or with all prayer and supplication. There's so many things that we need to be praying about. That's why we talk about unceasing prayer. The only way we'll pray about all of these things is if it's a normal occurrence throughout our day. Pray with all prayer and all supplication. You want to see your life grow. You want to see difference happening. Every time you change scenery, pray. Every time you change locations, every time you change discussion topics, every time, start praying, start praying, start praying, start praying. Even if it's like the most mundane thing. And just see what God does. Praying all prayer and all supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Because this is another military term. This idea of keeping alert. It's like a guy who is out on the battlefield. He's in the front lines. He is, you know, he is on call right now. He is the one who's staying up late, watching for the enemy. And that guy is not going to fall asleep because if he does, his whole battalion is going to get wiped out. Stay alert, Paul says. Stay alert. And with all perseverance, prayer is the thing that protects us. We need to be fighting into that prayer. When we talk about staying alert, sometimes that means, you know, well, a lot of times we can't pray more than 5 minutes. Okay, grow that. You know, while I start to wander, okay, then bring it back. Go from 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and every time you start to wander, try to bring it back. It's something to help you stay alert. Pray out loud, go for a walk. But do what you gotta do to pray in with or keeping alert in your prayers. Okay, do it. You know, when we go into these small groups that are starting up this week, we're gonna have good chunks of prayer. Don't let there be a lot of silence and be jump right in. Man, I wanna pray with all perseverance. I'm going to push in. And you know what? If you guys end up cutting yourself off or cutting each other off, that's okay. It's good because you're praying. Because we're praying with all perseverance. Well, Jesse, I'm not a good prayer. So what? We got to push in. Pray with all, or keeping alert with all perseverance. Making supplications for all the saints. Pray for one another. We can't do this on our own. I mean, I cannot tell you how many people have prayed me to this spot right here today. My grandma, my dad, my mom. Friends of friends of friends. I have stories, you know, many times where my life was probably going off the deep end. My mom would text her friends and say, hey, start praying. Or she didn't text, that time they emailed. But she would email her friends and, you know, they would start praying and the Lord would bring me back and the Lord would bring me back. So we can't do this on our own. We need to be praying for one another. And, you know, we a lot of times get stuck in this mode of just praying for ourselves. And you do. You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray for your kids. You need to pray for your family. You need to pray for your job. But you also need to be praying for other people. And fighting for time to pray for other people. And so, Paul said, listen, pray for all of the saints. Pray for the church. Pray for what God is doing. Fight for supernatural prayer. And we need to be staying in the Lord. That's the best place for us. We're called to be strong in the Lord and put on his armor. And we do that by having a posture of prayer. We do that by having a posture of prayer and just putting our face before the Lord and in everything praying. And we do that by fighting for supernatural prayer life. And understanding there's very little else that is more important than this. We need to be fighting for a supernatural prayer life. And it's not just time to pray either. It's, are you praying in the Spirit? Are you praying in the power of the Spirit, in the altitude of the Spirit? Are you praying all kinds of prayers? Are you praying for all the saints? Are you keeping alert in all perseverance? So we need to do that. We need to fight for that. I'll tell you what. You want to see God show up? Start doing this well. You want to see life change in your life? Start doing this well. So what's some things you can do? One, just start praying every day. Take 10 minutes a day. Just start with that. And set aside that time where you are going to be praying. Get a prayer journal. Get a list you're praying through. Have a group of people you're praying for. I can't do it sitting down. I have to get moving because I don't sit still very well. And a lot of times I need to be, you know, out loud, talking. If I'm going to really get in and pray in the power and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, getting into that altitude, I can't just be doing it sitting in a chair. I need to be in a place where I can go before the Lord. So I go for a jog, I go for a walk, but get 10 minutes of prayer and just set that aside of time and fight for that time. Don't let it just be weak prayer. Be like, Lord, every day, 10 minutes, I'm going after it. And just start there. And then try to grow it a little bit. Couple weeks in, get to 15 minutes. Get to 20 minutes and start to grow your prayer life. Start with 10 minutes. Two, read scripture in prayer with conviction. You know, open up the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is a great prayer book. Well, Jesse, I don't know the words. It's hard for me to pray 10 minutes, 45 minutes, and I will start praying scripture. open up God's word, and don't just be like reading it, but pray it with conviction as you're reading it. God has given us, this is the sword of truth given to us by the Holy Spirit. If we're called to be praying in the Spirit, why don't you just pray in this book? Open it up and start, you have your list of things you pray through, and then open up and just start praying scripture. Find a rhythm of prayer throughout your day. Okay, what's the pattern that you have set? You know, you get up at this time and you go do this at the gym, and then you go to work, and then you come and do this or do that. You know, figure out your rhythm of life and put prayer in there. You know, like I said, every time you get in the car and go somewhere else, every time you have a break, every time you know, whatever your rhythm is, figure out how to make a rhythm of prayer involved with your life. You know, well, my building's huge, Jesse. Well, then pray as you're walking from one side to the other. You know, but find that and make that where when you have those downtimes and things like that, that you automatically go into prayer. You know, finding a rhythm of prayer. Pray with people often. You want to grow your prayer life? Pray with people. If someone shares something to you out here that they're struggling with, don't be like, oh, I'll pray for you. No, start praying right now. Lift them up. Well, you know, I'm struggling with this. Great, let's pray about it right now. You know, start praying with other people at your work. They share something with you, man, they're going to think you're weird. So what? You want to grow your prayer life? Start praying for them. They share something with you. Can I pray for you right now? Okay. You know, invite other people to pray for you as well. You know, you're going through something. Understand you don't have it. That's what Paul says, that we need to be praying for all the saints. We need to be prayed for. Start inviting people to pray for you. You're going through something, man, bring people in. Hey, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? I need this. I don't have this. And then teach other people how to pray. You want to grow in your prayer life? Start teaching people how to pray. Find somebody who doesn't pray well and ask them if you can come alongside. That's one of the best ways that you can grow your own prayer life is teaching other people. You know, teach your kids, teach people at work, teach your friends, but start to teach people how to pray. Make it a normal occurrence, and it will grow in our own prayer life. We need an active prayer life. If God's going to do anything to this church, we need an active prayer life. If God's going to do anything in our own life, we need an active prayer life. If you need to take your next step, if I need to take my next step, we need an active prayer life. And that starts with understanding that we need to stay in the Lord. Nothing else will cut it. Cut off these desires that we go down, these paths that we go down to find our soul, to find the things to try to satisfy our soul. Cut those off. No. I need to be in the presence of the Lord. Well, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to do that through prayer. I'm going to put on God's armor in prayer. I'm going to spend time, every step I'm taking as I'm getting myself ready to fight this fight, I am going to be praying. And I'm going to get to that point by fighting for prayer, fighting for supernatural prayer. This is not something that comes naturally. If I don't fight for this, it will never happen. So I'm going to set up boundaries. I'm going to set up times. I'm going to set up schedules. I'm going to get my book. I'm going to get that. And here's the thing. We are living a life where we are until the Lord comes back again, it's going to be. And you're like, and some of you, this is one of your first times you've really started to engage in this idea of prayer. And you're like, yeah, you know, I need to do that. I'm going to start doing. But some of you, you're like, man, I've done this 3, 4, 5 times, and I've started a good time of prayer, and then business comes along, and it falls away, and then I come back to it, and I get these habits, and then it falls away because of this or that. And then, listen, you just need to keep pressing forward. Well, I've done that already. It's fine. Keep pushing in. Keep pushing in. This is a long life that we are waiting to meet Jesus on. It's not like all of a sudden one day we're going to wake up and everything's going to be perfect. But it's a one step at a time. Lord, I need to take this healthy step of prayer. I've done it and I fell last. That's great. Do it again. Do it again. And keep pressing in. So the band's going to come back up. We got 2 more songs. And the first song, what I want to do for this song is they're just going to sing... and just kind of pray over us for the first one. And I want to get in groups and I want to pray. I don't want to just talk about prayer. I want to do prayer. And I want you to just kind of pray through the points and pray for one another, pray for each other. If you have requests, put those out there. But just pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me allow myself to stay in you and help who's ever around you. Pray for them that they would stay in the Lord and give them a desire. Maybe there's something you need to confess. You know, I've been going after these things instead of staying in the Lord. Confess that. And then spend time praying and pray for one another. And after you get through that, move into the next one. And that we need to understand that the prayer is the posture that allows us to stay before the Lord and just say, and ask the Lord, help me stay before the throne. Help me stay before the throne. And just pray for that desire. And then pray that God would give you wisdom on how to fight for a supernatural prayer life. And, you know, my hope and my desire is that when you get together, when you're praying, don't just pray little prayers, but pray big prayers. You know, you are going before the throne of the Lord. This is not something simple, but you are going to the very creator of all things. He's invited us there. He tells us to come, but I just encourage you, press in and pray big prayers, pray hard prayers. If there's something that's just been going on that you've been struggling with, just pray it, Lord, help me in this area. And then once you're done, we'll jump into the last song and spend some time worshiping together. But as they're singing this, I want you to grab two or three people around you, get in groups. We got nice big wide aisles, and you can start praying together.